as we celebrate the second Sunday of Advent, we're going to be looking at Joseph's story to try to fill in our question, what child is this? I mean, who is this that is so special that 2,000 years later where you're celebrating his birth? I'm thinking if this world goes another 2,000 years, we probably will not be celebrating March 15th, which is a very important day. I was born that day, you know. But most people will probably remember that it's the, what's the other thing? Someone was killed on that day? Yeah, see? Boy, what a great birthday. But this child is different. Way different than I am. Why is it that we still celebrate the birth of this child? Well, we're going to just briefly, and honestly, I do plan on getting you out of here on time. We're going to briefly look at Joseph's story and what we learn from there about this child. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 1, and we're going to look at 18 through 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And it reads like this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they had come together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, help us to truly know who this child is, whose birth we celebrate. Father, this season is getting so cluttered up with so many things that really are not important. The important thing, Lord, is what we celebrate, and that is the birth of this child, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to learn something today of what this child, of who this child is. Lord, just be with us in the few minutes we have left. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, there's really quite a few things we learn here, but most of these things we learned last week when we talked about Mary and the angel telling Mary what was going to want, what was going to happen. And that was in Luke 1, 26 through 38. And the things that we learned last week, and they're in your bulletin notes. So I'm not going to necessarily go over all of them. And some of them we hear again this week. But there's two things that I want to emphasize this week about this child that whose birth we celebrate today. And first of all, we want to go to verse 21 and look at that. The angel tells Joseph that she will bear a son, and you will call him his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, this is huge. about this child. This is something that we base, at least at this church, we really base our religious doctrines on, is this child who was born, and he is the one who saves us from our sins. So he will be a savior. This child will be a savior, as we read in the scriptures in verse 21, but also in Acts 13:21, it says, from the descendants of this man, according to the promise, God brought to Israel a savior, Jesus. And he's and this is Peter talking, and he's talking about, that's not Peter talking, but it's Paul talking, and he's talking about David. From the descendants of David comes this Savior, Jesus. 1 John 4:14, it says, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of the world. This child that we celebrate, and we should be celebrating him because he's the Savior. Excuse me. The question is, the Savior of what? And I think this is where we get confused. It's pretty clear in the scripture here that it says he's the Savior. He saves us from our sins. He saves us from our sins. Can you give me my water bottle? I was hoping not to do this when I sang. And I did. Hallelujah. Because then I wouldn't have been able to snap. But if you want to know the truth, that's as loud as I can sing. So, it's all emotion. It's a deception. I'm a magician. What can I say? I think people have the perception that if we know Jesus Christ, he saves us from everything. From the hardships of life, from the difficulties of life. He blesses us beyond everything, and obviously he does bless. Don't get me wrong, but we think he's going to save us from every little thing that goes on in life. And really, the purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this world was to save us from our sins. Because that is the thing that is the most important. It is our sins that separate us from Jesus, from God, and from spending eternity in God. And when Jesus came, he saved us from those sins. So he's our Savior, and there's a lot of scriptures there. You can look it up to talk about Jesus saving from our sins. And then, but something that I want to emphasize here is that he will not be a Savior, indicating that there might be other Saviors to come. He is the Savior. There is no other Savior. There is no other way that we can get rid of our sins. There's no other way that we can be saved from our sins. There's no other way that we can have hope of eternity with God in heaven except through Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. This is what Peter is speaking. Excuse me. It says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. This child that was born is the Savior. He is the only Savior, and Jesus himself testified to that in John chapter 14, verse 6. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Except through me. So we need to remember, this is a big takeaway from this passage of Scripture, that Jesus Christ is not just a special person, is not just a prophet, he is the one who can save us from our sins. He is the one that can grant us salvation, is what we call it. Being saved from our sins, we call salvation, and also give us a place in the kingdom of God and in heaven to come. There's one other thing that we want to make a point out, and that's in Matthew 22:1-22. It says, "Now this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet." Again, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of prophecy. This is not just, this child happened to be born, and he happened to be sinless, and it just happened that he could be the Savior. No, this was God's plan from the beginning of time, really. When he created the earth, he created, also he developed this plan because he knew what man was going to do. And so he provided for us a Savior, and Jesus Christ, and he told us about it well before Jesus Christ was born. He says that the virgin's going to have a child, and this child is going to be God with you. And the Old Testament makes it very clear that this child who was born, if you go to Isaiah 53 and read that, will be the one who takes upon him our transgressions. And he is wounded for us that we might be healed. And that's really what Christmas is about. It's about the birth of our Savior, the one who removes sin from us. And that's why we can sing, and that's why we can have joy and be happy, even in a world that seems to be falling apart. Because we have a Savior. Now, is this Savior going to bring peace to the entire world? He's not. He's not going to do that. But he is going to bring peace to every person who believes in him. And the question that I want to ask as we close our service is, have you believed in the Savior? You all celebrate Christmas, I know that. I'm sure you all have your tree up and lights on your house and presents under the tree and you're done shopping and all this kind of stuff. You celebrate Christmas. But what you're really celebrating is the Savior who was born. The greatest gift given. But the question is, have you accepted that gift? Have you accepted the gift of the Savior? Or is that present still under the Christmas tree? I used that illustration several times about, when Christmas is over, the Christmas tree is standing there. Generally, there's not a present left underneath that tree. A lot of times, there's not even tinsel left on the tree. No, we open everything that's under there. Well, the greatest gift to us during this Christmas season was this child, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. The question is, have you taken that gift? Have you accepted the gift of Jesus Christ so that he can forgive you for your sins? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the children, for the words that came out of their mouths, for their blessing us with songs and the message they brought of Jesus Christ coming to this earth. And Father, we thank you for your message to Joseph about the Savior who will save us from our sins that is going to be born. Father, I pray that this Christmas season, that this would not just be a story that we read or recite. But Father, I pray that for everyone in this place, we would have opened the gift of Jesus Christ by believing in him, by accepting him as our Lord and Savior, that we too might have our sins forgiven and have a home with God in glory. Father, thank you for this time in your house. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.